Good afternoon. Like always, I'll start with a quick review of Sunday's performance. Obviously, a very necessary victory for us. It was a great effort. I wouldn't necessarily call it a great performance, but it was a great effort. It was a necessary performance. We made enough plays to win the game. Like I said after the game, I was really proud of the guys in terms of the way they displayed their mettle, their willingness to stick together and work through adverse circumstances and conditions to pursue victory. As I went back and studied the tape, I thought that, you know, the sequence of events that bookend halftime was significant for us. Chris Rainey gave us a big jolt after their score, returning the ball to around midfield, and we were able to get 3 points prior to the half. Obviously, we had an opportunity for 7 there. We missed it, but we were able to get some points and get some positive momentum there going into halftime, and then our ability to come out of halftime and put together a scoring drive to start the third quarter, I thought that put us back in the football game, not only in terms of the scoreboard, but just simply emotionally. I thought it was a lift for us. It was one that created a wave that the guys were able to ride and make enough plays down the stretch to secure the victory. Obviously, we're happy for and proud of Charlie. He made all the necessary plays for us, and not only in terms of what he did physically, but emotionally. He was solid throughout. Did an awesome job of communicating, but we've come to expect that from him. So, you know, I'm not surprised, but I am excited for him and proud of him and his contributions. But the contributions came from a lot of people in all three phases. I don't want to make too much out of the performance. I'd like to think it's evidence of something that we can build upon, but obviously what we do specifically this week is going to dictate that. So, you know, we turn our eyes specifically to the task at hand, which is preparing for and playing the San Diego Chargers. From a health standpoint, of course, there's a number of things to talk about, and I'll run down a list of some guys that have been injured, some guys that have, of course, recently returned, some guys that's dealing with nagging things and the appropriate personnel things that kind of come along with it. Will Johnson did sustain a concussion in the game. He's already started the process of going through a battery of tests. He's done well on those. You know, he'll be maybe limited at the front portion of the week, but we're confident that he'll be able to play in spite of. Emmanuel Sanders has an AC sprain of his shoulder. That'll limit him at the front part of the week, but he should be a full participant. Mike Wallace has some inflammation in his right knee. He jammed it, but he could be limited at the early portions of the week, but it won't prevent him from participating. Mike Adams, of course, is still out this week with his high ankle sprain. Ryan Clark might be limited at the front part of the week with a hip contusion. Willie Colon, we expect back, but at the same time, we realize that he could be limited, particularly at the early portions of the week. I thought Troy's return was a positive thing. It was no steps backwards. We expect that to continue, but we still may preserve him, particularly at the early portions of the week. In an effort to keep him moving in the right direction from a health standpoint. Of course, it's been reported Ike Taylor's got a right ankle fracture. He'll be out for at least a couple of weeks. Obviously, he's not in play this week. Cortez Allen will start, of course, and Curtis Brown will come in and sub package football as he did on Sunday. And I thought both guys did a really nice job. They proved that it wasn't too big for them. Obviously, Cortez has played a lot of defensive football for us here over the course of the season, so not surprised by his performance at all, but was pleased with the performance, the defensive contributions of Curtis Brown. He's proven to be a very stable and reliable special teams player, but it was good to see him get a substantial amount of defensive work and stand and deliver, and particularly on get-off downs. I thought they went after him some particularly early on in third down opportunities. I thought he withstood the challenge, and of course, he'll get many more opportunities to prove that. But that's what the National Football League's about. We've got some young corners that we've been excited about. You know, guys like Cortez and Curtis and DeMarcus Van Dyke. They'll get an opportunity to show why we're excited about them. And the next man will be up and have an opportunity to put their hand in the pile and show that they can be reasons why we're successful. Lamar Woodley is questionable at this point. We'll give him some snaps and see how his body reacts to those snaps. But he's definitely potentially in play as we work this week. Antonio Brown maybe limited at early portions of the week. I thought it was a good start for him from a return standpoint, but he's still working his way back to complete health, if there's such a thing at this point in the NFL football season. Jericho Cotchery, we expect to be a full participant this week. Byron Leftwich is getting closer toward health, but he might not get an opportunity to prove that this week. What we have is two known healthy quarterbacks, of course. So obviously we got to prepare those guys. Ben is getting closer to health. He threw yesterday, and I guess it could be described as successfully. We'll see what it looks like on a football field. Tomorrow he'll be given an opportunity to prove that he is healthy, and we'll kind of let that progress go from there. But in the meanwhile, obviously, Charlie is our guy, and we'll prepare and plan with that in mind, just like we did a week ago. We'll continue to work and give Brian some work if we can, so that the reps that we give Ben obviously will primarily come from Brian, but there just won't be many opportunities for a guy like Byron to prove that he's getting healthy, even though he is. We'll focus on the two healthy quarterbacks and one guy that's trying to prove his health in Ben, and we'll see what a week takes us, particularly tomorrow. I think once we get out there tomorrow, be provide some clarity for us, and we'll be able to make firm decisions. But as we sit here today and prepare, put together a game plan, we're doing so in the same manner that we did a week ago, in that Charlie is our guy, and we're building our plan around what he is capable of, and we'll see what Ben can prove to us here during the early portions of the week from a health standpoint. So in a nutshell, that's kind of where we are from a health standpoint. Again, we don't complain about the health. We simply acknowledge it and begin the process of preparing the guys that we deem healthy to put together a winning performance, and we believe that they're capable. Moving on to San Diego, talking about things they're capable of, I'll start with Philip Rivers. Obviously, he is an elite quarterback, man, has been for a number of years, a very capable guy. He is the center of what they do offensively, and rightfully so. He spreads the ball around to a variety of guys. The wide receiver position is a unique one from where we sit. If you look at Malcolm Floyd and Alexander, they're very big guys. Floyd is, 6'6", and I guess Alexander is 6'4 and change. They provide a unique issue and concern for us from that standpoint. I don't know that we've seen a tandem as big and imposing as these guys. They're capable of getting down the field. Floyd averages 15 yards per catch, and Alexander's got really rock-solid vacuum-like hands. I remember when he came out in the draft, I thought he unquestionably had the nicest hands at the Senior Bowl down in Mobile. Obviously, Antonio Gates is a legendary tight end, one that is a matchup issue and has been a matchup issue for a decade or so in the NFL. He's generally too athletic for linebackers to cover and too big and too wide for safeties to cover. He does a nice job of utilizing his body when matched up versus smaller defenders like safeties and rebounding, if you will. And he's just got too much wiggle and route savvy and experience for most linebackers. So, we've got an issue to deal with in regards to defending him. Look forward to sitting down with the defensive staff this afternoon and starting that readiness process. And their running backs, I think I'm really impressed by what they're able to provide. Ronnie Brown, I think, has 45 catches. He's been known since he's been in the National Football League to be a solid catch guy. He continues to prove that. He's a second leading receiver. And this young running back, Matthews, is a talented young guy. I haven't heard much about him in, mainstream media and things of that nature, but when you turn the tape on, obviously he was a high-round draft pick, and the tape tells you why. This guy has got really quick feet, got really good contact balance, has natural run skills, has a good pad level. I think he's a quality emerging player in the National Football League. On defense, we've got issues with this group, and it starts, I think, with the unique depth and talent that they have at the outside linebacker position. Phillips and Johnson are the starting tandem. Of course, we're familiar with what Jared is capable of. He spent quite a few years in Baltimore. Phillips has been to Pro Bowls, but what's behind him, I think, is unique. Ingram is a first-rounder out of South Carolina. You see his pedigree on tape. It's proven that he's capable and worthy of the draft selection. Antoine Barnes, another former Raven, has provided a spark for him in terms of what he's capable of in the edge rush. And they got a first-rounder, Larry English, that's the fifth man in that rotation. So that just speaks to the depth of that position. They got a quality front in Leggett and young, talented guys like Leggett and Kendall Reyes. Obviously, the linebacker core is led by Taquio Spikes, a guy that appears to be an ageless wonder. You know, you can compare him to London Fletcher in terms of his body of work and the level of consistency associated with it. He appears to be an emotional leader for those guys. They rally around his presence, similar to how they've done in just about every city that he's been in since he's been in the National Football League. Got a lot of respect for him. Under his leadership, man, they're fifth in the league versus the run. They smashed the run, particularly situationally. I was just looking at their Ravens game. They had third and one stop, fourth and one stop. Really had control of that football game and do a nice job in that way. In the secondary, I think, you know, they're opportunistic. Of the 11 interceptions that they have on the season, five of them have been returned for touchdowns. They produced the splash plays. That group is led by Quentin Jammer, who's been in the league and been rock solid for them for a number of years at the cornerback position. And I'm really impressed by the play of Eric Weddle. I know that, you know, he's gotten a lot of notoriety over the last couple of years, but getting the opportunity to study the tape and see him, I see why. He's a good fundamental tackler. He's very aware. Very rarely is he out of place. His angles to the ball are excellent. And you see why he gets the turnovers that he does, because very rarely does he misstep. And he's got good vision and ball skills. So the special teams unit is rock solid. I had the pleasure of working with Richard Bisaccia, their special teams coordinator, for a number of years. Got big-time respect for him. He's one of the best in the business. Their tape illustrates that. Their punting game is spectacular. I think their punter is number two in football. So they have the ability to flip the field. I think some of the things that have bitten them in the last several weeks is turning the football over. Obviously, we haven't distinguished ourselves in getting them, although we did do a nice job, specifically a few instances last Sunday. We haven't distinguished ourselves in that way consistently over the larger part of the season. So if their punter is capable of doing what he showed he can do, obviously they're capable of flipping the field and making us work over a long field. A lot to chew on, things to worry about, but we're excited about building upon a good performance from Sunday and preparing to play this week and getting back at home in front of our fans. I'll be happy to address any questions.
Mike, was there anything in your mind unusual about the post-game handshake with Coach Harbaugh?
Nothing really unusual other than the fact that I was kind of in a hurry. You know, as I moved toward the middle of the field, I noticed to my left the number of guys that were headed toward our locker room. And maybe that happens all the time, but given the amount of effort it took to get out of that stadium with a win, I wanted to get there as quick as I can. It's a normal practice for me to welcome guys into the locker room and thank them for their efforts after games. And really, the result of games don't matter. That's a general practice for me. But obviously, it took special effort to secure that victory. And when I noticed that guys were headed toward the locker room, I was in a hurry to get there.
Mike, do you plan on bringing in any DBs for a workout or anything?
We potentially could do that, and maybe not even necessarily to make a specific move right now. But when your lines get thin, you evaluate people for potentially their next injury. So, we're open-minded potentially to bringing in a corner or two just to see what's out there, to see what the short list looks like, see what people are capable of. But at the same time, we may be ridiculously impressed with what we see and we might do something. So I'm not closing the door on that in any form or fashion.
Mike, is the door a little more open for Ben this week than it was last week?
Certainly. But you can say that about anybody that was injured a week ago. 7 days does wonders for injuries.
Do you anticipate dressing him even as a backup, or if he can't start, then he won't be in uniform?
It depends on what the week tells us. And I understand the elements of those things, but, you know, a lot of those potential thoughts and processes are in place, but really it'd be premature to kind of start to make those judgments until we see what he looks like throwing the football, and particularly throwing the football in 11-on-11 type or 7-on-7 type settings.
Mike, when Ben first got hurt, he told us that it was a kind of injury where potentially his life was in danger should he take a wrong hit. Is that how it was explained to you, and is that still the case now?
I mean, I guess you could describe it in that way, but the chances of that were extremely rare and minimal. So percentages, yes. To what degree, I don't know. We talked more about the nature of the injury and what's going to be required for him to return. So I wasn't privy or part of discussions along those lines.
Has that portion of the injury healed up, or that's no longer even a fractional risk?
Obviously, if we're talking about him playing.
Hey, Mike, your thoughts on Cortez Allen. He came to the Citadel, second-year guy. Gets better all the time, it seems like. Just your thoughts on his progression and also Curtis Brown now stepping into the number three role, possibly.
You know, I compare those young men to the way I compared, you know, Emmanuel Sanders and Antonio Brown, who are a year older than them. They're talented young people. We've pitted them against each other in terms of the production that they provide. Both are experienced, can be described as experienced special teams contributors to this point. Cortez took a step in terms of being able to distinguish himself as a defender. He's grown over the course of the season. I think more than anything, the physical talent has been there. I think he's grown in terms of awareness, and particularly awareness in situational football, and being able to put himself in position to make the necessary plays to get us off the field. And we understand what comes with his position, particularly in third down situations. And Curtis, of course, is being given an opportunity to show what he's capable of, and he's continually worked and improved and made some plays for us a week ago, and we expect him to do the same. They're both talented young guys who are continuing to improve that the stage isn't too big for them, and obviously we need them to answer the bell as we continue to push into a territory that we haven't been in since I've been here. You can say a lot of things about Ike and a lot of positive things, but probably the thing that sticks out the most is his durability and availability. This guy hadn't missed practices, let alone football games, since I've been here. So we're in a unique territory in that regard, but we're not going to make more of a deal out of it than what it is. Obviously, he's injured. Injuries are part of the game. We're going to work with the healthy ones.
Does he need any kind of surgical procedures like inserting a screw?
No, he does not.
Coach, your thoughts about seizing a moment with Kelvin Beachum stepping in with an opportunity to play tackle, and then the offensive line being flexible with Pouncey playing guard?
You know, just really, really pleased with the contributions of those men. Obviously, KJ being the third guy to play right tackle for us this year. But he proved what we knew, in that he is a mature kid, he's a stable young man. He was going to be prepared above the neck. It hadn't been anything that he's shown us since he's been here, or even in researching him in preparation for the draft, that would lead us to think anything else. He's a special guy. He's a smart guy. He's very cerebral in his approach. He's steady Eddie. He's got some talent, obviously. Not a lot of experience, particularly experienced at right tackle. So our concerns lied in those areas and not mentally or emotionally. He proved physically that he could stand up, and good for him and good for us. But he's got a new challenge awaiting him this week. I talked about the unique depth of the outside rushman of San Diego. So I'm sure that they're going to take turns getting a look at him like the Ravens did, whether it's Phillips or Johnson or Ingram or others. He's going to have another opportunity. And that's the great thing about the National Football League. You can't wear yourself out patting yourself on the back, man. The new challenges are usually less than 7 days away. So we'll see if he's up to these ones.
Mike, do you do anything differently at running back, and what's up with Rashard? Will you use him this week?
We don't intend on doing anything differently in terms of Jonathan being the guy, and of course Red supplementing him, because Red is capable of distinguishing himself in situational football, short yardage. He's a good blitz pickup guy. Rashard will get an opportunity to redeem himself, I'm sure, at some point along this journey. Man, that's the nature of this thing. There's ebb and flow, and opportunities are presented. Obviously, he's not being given one right now. And due to a lot of reasons, most of the reasons not having anything to do with him in the running back position. We've got thin lines at a lot of other positions. We carried 8 offensive linemen a week ago. We've got nicks at the wide receiver position. So a guy that's featured runner capable like Rashard, who has very little contribution in the team's game, is probably not going to get an opportunity to show much if he's not the featured runner.
Mike, what was the biggest difference in the offense from week 1 to week 2 with Charlie? Was it just timing, comfortability back there, just him being able to work with the guys for, you know, a full week, that kind of stuff?
You know, I'm sure some of those things play into it, but obviously we didn't shoot ourselves in the foot as much. Notice that I said as much, because I acknowledge that we shot ourselves in the foot some in Baltimore. I mean, we turned the ball over twice in scoring territory. You know, we missed a touchdown opportunity there at the end of the first half. We fumbled the ball on a third down conversion down the field in open grass. I don't know if anybody would have tackled Emmanuel. So, you know, we still have our ills, obviously, but we were better. And we need to continually be better. We need to continually be whatever it is that we need to be to secure victory.
We
Mike, what is the coaching point on transferring the ball away from defensive pressure? Do you teach them only to do that when they feel pressure? In the case of Sanders, if he sees nothing but green, should you just hang on to it and run as fast as he can?
He caught the ball in the middle of the field, moving from right to left. He moved to put the ball in his left hand so his inside hand could be free and he could fight off defenders. Very fundamentally sound protocol. In terms of how or why he lost the ball, I have no idea. Hold on to the ball is the coaching point. As you transfer it in open grass. You know, it's kind of like, how do you teach somebody to dance? Dance, you know. That's my reaction or response to that.
How did you think the rest of the offensive line did with some of the shuffles that had to go on due to Cologne's injury? And were you happy enough with that alignment that should really not be able to heal in time? Would you go forward with that again?
I thought everybody did an awesome job, and really his contributions were all parties involved. You know, Ramon, I thought, did a unique and excellent job in terms of communicating and just being there for Beecham as a guy that played beside him. Obviously, Doug has proven to be a very capable center. He did a nice job of identifying people and getting the mics declared and so forth and redeclaring fronts as needed. And Pouncey continues to show that he's a special football player regardless of where you play him. You know, I might play him at tackle this week. You know, shouldn't joke like that because, you know, stranger things have happened. But Marquise is a talented guy. It doesn't matter where you play him. And I think his performance proved that on Sunday.
Mike, you've said in the past that players don't need to practice necessarily to play, but given the way the offense performed last week, I mean, if Ben doesn't make a significant, is tomorrow really sort of the important day? I mean, could there be a situation where he doesn't practice, but he's good to go on Sunday?
You know, I don't know how many ways I can tell you. He's got to prove it to us that he's capable and ready to play. And so we practice tomorrow. See you tomorrow.
And by proving it, do you have a menu of throws he needs to be able to make?
I got a myriad of things, and most of which I'm not certain of as I sit here because I'm trying to prepare a schematic approach to winning this football game. We'll deal with tomorrow.
Mike, with so many injuries in the wide receiving core, do you see an expanded role for Plex?
Potentially. Again, like talking about the quarterback situation or others, you know, we're not going to be too impulsive in our thinking. We'll see what the practice looks like and adjust accordingly as we get toward the week. The great thing about it is areas where we know he's capable of helping us situationally, red zone and so forth, those things are done and addressed at the latter part of the week. We're just simply laying a fundamental basis of our plan tomorrow. So that decision doesn't have to transpire in the next 24 to 48.
You've had some of these really good wins against potential playoff teams, division-leading teams. Have you noticed during the week of practice that your practices have been much crisper than, say, some of the games where you weren't as successful on the field? Has been game day management and execution?
No, I really haven't. You know, I judge weeks based on performance, as we should. You know, you prepare to play and play to win. I hadn't noticed anything. I could probably trick myself into something, but, you know, I hadn't. I hadn't to this point, no.
Does Charlie playing so well maybe buy you extra time with Ben, or are the two things totally separate?
Totally separate. Obviously, Ben is our quarterback, and if he's capable of playing, we're going to play him. But we appreciate the efforts of Charlie and all the other men that step up when given an opportunity due to injury.
Hey, Mike, when you go into the last quarter of the season like you are now, how much do you stock you put in, like confidence and momentum and mindset? How much do you concern yourself with those, and where do you think your team's at right now?
You know, I acknowledge all those things exist. But at the same time, they're somewhat mystical because you can't measure them. You know, I acknowledge that it is part of it as you push in. I do think our team has some unique characteristics. It's kind of born out of unique circumstances or situations in some instances. Quite frankly, it's always 20-20 looking back at it. If we're able to put together a run and win necessary games and get some momentum, then you can say it was unique. And if we don't, then you can say it was irrelevant. So, you know, more than anything, it's about preparing for us and working in the tangible, the measurable things and preparing to play and understanding that we need to be as teammate friendly as we can be. And maybe some of those things that you can't measure will be an element in the outcome of football games as well.
Mike, is the next step for Troy to go back to being an every down guy, or is there still another intermediary step that he needs to take?
I will play it by ear and look at it and see how the week goes. Obviously, you know, we didn't want any steps backwards. And we thought it was successful, and obviously in the interim Will proved that he was a capable guy, so we didn't have any qualms about playing him, and we didn't have any qualms about resting or keeping Troy fresh, however you want to phrase it.
Mike, Rivers is one of those quarterbacks of that draft class of 2004 with Ben and Eli. He's thrown 15 picks this year. He's been sacked 36 times. What's your thoughts on what's happening to Rivers right now?
You know, you can just look at the shuffling that's gone on in the offensive line and what was reported yesterday with the number of injuries, and you could point to that. I know Ryan Matthews has missed some time. The injury, we know what injuries at the running back position can do to the quarterback position in terms of responsibility, because we've experienced that ourselves. They're better equipped to answer that than I. I just know what he's capable of, and I respect what he's capable of, and we better be prepared to defend what he's capable of.
Anything final?
Thank you.